Kingdom come by power,
by power.
Kingdom come by power,
by power.
Kingdom come by power,
by power.
By power, by violence. Kingdom come by power,
by violence. Kingdom come,
oh, by power,
by power.
Kingdom come by violence,
by power.
Kingdom come by power,
by power.
Let thy kingdom come, O God.
Amen.
And let thy will be done.
Amen.
We account ourselves as children of the kingdom. May the character and the lifestyle of the kingdom be our portion.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
May we increasingly take on the habit of a kingdom lifestyle.
Amen.
That we may know how to walk pleasing you in this time.
Amen.
Lord, give us understanding.
Amen.
About the operations of your kingdom.
Amen.
The manner of its coming. Its expression in every area.
Amen.
Give it to us, O God.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. I want to attempt to talk on what I call developing kingdom mentality, developing kingdom manner. Building a lifestyle that is in harmony with the kingdom. This becomes very necessary when you know the mind of God is to build a kingdom. God is committed to building a kingdom. Kingdom establishment, kingdom building, kingdom raising up is the trust of the Father. He has made this known from the beginning of the books, the Genesis. He said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. And let them have what?
Dominion.
Dominion is taken from the word kingdom. Means kingdom's domain. So, king's domain. King's spheres of authority. So it means that from the very beginning, when God initiated the idea of bringing man into his spheres of operations, the assignment of man, the mandate given to man is to manage a kingdom. So, man that will be relevant in the hand of God must be acquainted, well settled about the kingdom style, the kingdom life. Now, we dwell in the environment of democracy and politics, you know, and that in a way has affected our mentality, our ideas about how a kingdom is. Democracy said everybody is free. Talk anything you want to talk. Freedom of speech, Abi. Equality of everybody. Anything you want to do, just do it. That's a demonic ideas of governance. And that's why we are having all these corruptions and wickedness governing the nations. The kingdom of God is not democratic. In the kingdom of God, there is no freedom of talk. In the kingdom life, everything belongs to the king. You say only what king wants you to say. You have only what the king wants you to have. You live in the sphere where the king gives to you. You are living at the benevolence of the king. You are living at the mercy of the king. The king is in charge of everything. He owns everything. Whatever he gives to you, he gives it to you for his own pleasure. When you finish using it, whatever you get out of it belongs to him. Everything belongs to the king in the kingdom. Now, like I said, that looks a bit weird, isn't it? Because we live in a political, in a democratic setting. Your own is your own, my own is my own. But we need, as believers, as children of God, who are hoping for the kingdom, who are looking for the kingdom to come. Like Jesus Christ taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That is the first prayer, the first request. Thy kingdom come. And as sure as we live, his kingdom must come.
Amen.
The whole earth shall become the kingdom of God. So the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
And if you and me are going to be officiating ministers, relevant in that unveiling kingdom, then we must begin to train ourselves by the help of the Holy Spirit, train our mind on how a kingdom lifestyle should be exhibited. The Holy Spirit is at hand teaching us. Amen. And as you give yourself to him, he will teach you. And the Bible is not, Jesus didn't cover it up. He was so clear about it. So clear about it from the beginning. When he began to teach, he said, repent for what?
The kingdom.
Check all his teaching, all his speech. It's all about the kingdom. Everywhere he speaks, it's all about the kingdom. The kingdom. And the book of Daniel picked it, Daniel chapter 4, chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 picked it way ahead of time. Verse 44. Say, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a what?
A kingdom.
The God of heaven is committing to setting up a kingdom. And Jesus Christ came to fulfill that setting up, to lay the foundation of it, to begin it. And you and me are supposed to be the finishing, the completion of it. And what did he say the characters of that kingdom will be? Which shall never be destroyed. It's an indestructible kingdom. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people. That is, no nation on earth shall dominate it. The nation of Israel, the kingdom of Israel, was sometime left to other people. The Assyrian came and took it and gave it back to them. The Babylon came and took it and gave it back to them. Egyptian came and took it and gave it back to them.
In spite of the glory and splendor of David and Solomon, other people took it. It was left for other people. But the character of the kingdom that God is talking about, no nation, no devil will conquer it.
Amen.
It shall reign forever and ever.
Amen.
And you and me must begin to adjust ourselves and prepare ourselves for that kingdom. It's already within us. Because one of the key characters of that kingdom is that it's a growing kingdom. It's a kingdom that grows. And it's already growing within us. It's like the lively stone caught with that hand. And the Bible says it grows until it fills the whole earth. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So knowing this, that God is committed to building a kingdom, raising up a kingdom in our day, in our time, and please don't put it afar off. Don't say, oh, at some millennia. Oh, at some time to come. No. It's already in progress. It started, Jesus Christ began it. Jesus Christ started and laid the foundation of it. And it's going on the increase. And so shall it continue to increase and increase and increase and increase until it fills the whole earth.
Amen.
And blessed be the Almighty God who have adopted you
Amen.
To be part of that kingdom.
Amen.
Now the citizens of that kingdom, they are not elected into it. They are born into it. God give back to them. Citizen of that kingdom. They are children of the kingdom. You and me are born to the kingdom. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, saying that God is fully committed to this purpose and has given all that he has to achieving it, then you and me must need to begin to reorientate, rearrange our life to fall in line with the ideals of that kingdom, with the standard, the requirement of that kingdom. Now, this time is not enough to go through all that. But we just lay the foundation, we just explain it, and I trust that the Holy Spirit will go and multiply it in your heart.
Amen.
And then you continue in it. Amen.
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 Amen. We are the people of God. Oh, my Spirit, from on the down and deliver from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. So hear us, O Spirit of God. Oh yes, oh you will know where we stand. We say, oh,
we are just chosen,
purchased with scars. We've been bought by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We are the people of God. We are called by His name. We are brought from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race saves everyone because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son. Amen.
Amen.
Developing the kingdom mindset, character. We take some scriptural reading, reinforcing the intent of God to establishing a kingdom. Let somebody quickly read Exodus 19:6. We have read Daniel 2:44. Let somebody go to Daniel 4:17. Exodus 19:6, yes, go on.
And ye shall be born unto me a kingdom of priests.
A kingdom of priests.
And an holy nation.
Amen.
These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel.
Amen. A kingdom of priests. He was just bringing them out of Egypt. And as we are studying Passover, they are just finishing the Passover.
And he told them his plan is to make them a kingdom of priests. Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. There is the kingdom of God and there is the kingdom of men. But the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Amen. Matthew 6, 10 to 13 and then Colossians 1, 9 to 13.
Matthew 6, verse 10 to 13.
Yeah.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Stop there. I just read that fourth verse. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 13.
For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with gentleness. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and has translated us
into the kingdom of his dear Son, who delivered us from where? The powers of darkness, and did what? Translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, he has done it. We have been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But it's one thing to be translated into a kingdom. It's another thing to learn and to exhibit the habit of that kingdom, the character of that kingdom. So, he delivered the people of Israel from Egypt. And he said, you will be unto me a kingdom of priests. But do they ever became that? No. Because even though they were free, yet they are in captivity. So they keep saying the onions and the garlic of Egypt is better than the liberty we now have under God. And that's why they were all destroyed. Free, the promise of God is before them that they will become a kingdom. But they never attained to it. Here again we see that we are delivered from the powers of darkness as they were delivered from Egypt, and we have been translated into the kingdom. Not we are going to be some days. We have already been translated into that kingdom. It's a living reality. That you can be translated into that kingdom and yet not manifest the character, the ideas of that kingdom. Because of a long drawn years in slavery, the mind has been so bruised that the thought of the new life in the new kingdom is not connected. So they always say, well, let's go back to Egypt. It's better for us in Egypt. When God has clearly told them that you are a kingdom of priests unto me. But they say, no, that of Egypt is more real to us. And sadly to say, this is the way many believers, unfortunately, live their life. Deliver from the powers of darkness, but still living as though they are under the powers of darkness. And that informed many of the prayer houses. Many of our prayers, particularly men of these churches, is all about the powers of darkness. I was listening to a message. I mean, when people take a word and extend it and expand it beyond the elastic limit, what happens? It breaks. And it becomes what? Not useful. In the book of Psalm 23, a very beautiful psalm.
He said there that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, was that the end of the statement? Was that the end of the statement?
No.
Let somebody put it on the board. Let's see what that statement says. Said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Please put it up. Let's see whether that was a full stop. After even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What did he say? Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, what do we have there? Comma. That means it's not the end of the statement. But when a minister now take that one and now preach a whole 2-hour sermon on that. And allowing you, you see, when you have a dream, and the dream is like this, and somebody pushing you, valley of the shadow of death. When you do this and this thing happen, valley of the shadow of death. Jesus. This thing, valley of the shadow of death. I say, oh my, and this, I have to tell you, please, can you put that thing off? I was in my friend's car, and I was driving, and, you know, I said, please tell your driver to put that thing off. He's insulting. He said, because that is not the scripture. Mm-hmm. That's not, that is how we build prayer houses and make people to pray on fear. Don't deliver from the powers of darkness, yet living as though they are still under the power of darkness because their mind has been full with all manner of lies. Deliver from the powers of darkness. So if he had just said, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Yes, I can agree with that. Why? For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. That is the whole statement. And I akin that to, you know, the spies, the 12 spies. And that's why, please, whenever you are here, be careful what you say. When you are preaching, please, be very careful what you say to God's people. Never you talk about their weakness. That is known to God, their Father, and is taking care of it. He has factored it into his grace. And he will surely take care of it. Speak to them about their strength in God. Let them know what they are in God. Let them feel the thought of what they are in God. That's where Moses made the mistake. He said, you rebels. We know they were rebels. But it should not come from their mouth to the servants. You are God's children, born by his blood. Each one of you are strong in the Lord. And God has determined that you will fulfill the divine purpose for which he has created them. Let the devil multiply himself million times over. He cannot put a strand of hair from your head. Each one receiving his kingdom is a master over the kingdom of darkness. Each one, from the least to the greatest, everyone is master over the kingdom of darkness. You may not feel like it. You may not even think like it. But that does not change the truth of the scripture. We must say what the word of God says. Yes, the giant may be in the land, no doubt about it. They may be tall, they may be big, the city may be festered. A reality we see with our eyes. That is where understanding comes in. Spiritual understanding will make you to see bigger than that and make you to see that. Even though they are giant, they are meat for you. Caleb said, don't be afraid, we go, we'll take them out, they are meat for us. The 10 people say, no, 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 no. They are going to destroy themselves. Then we can't go up. Now, what the 10 were saying were true. That was true. They are facts. Let me say it's true. They are facts. But the difference between fact and truth. And many times we get so built on facts, we forget the truth. And only God has the truth. And it is the truth that gives you understanding. It is the much of the truth you have that give you understanding, that give you stability in life. You can have all the facts, but if you don't have the truth, you are miserable. And the enemy is going to knock here and there. But I know each one of you here you have understanding.
Amen.
The spirit of understanding is already on you. I can feel it. It's not, I've been amongst you for many years. I interact with each one of you. I know the spirit of understanding is dwelling among you. The Lord is making each one of you quick in the spirit of understanding.
Amen.
Because you love His word. You stay on His word. And that spirit is upon you. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, that is what God wants us to develop. To develop a kingdom mindset. A people that have come out and know that they are delivered from the powers of darkness and are no longer subject to the powers of darkness. What is the power? The authority of darkness, the dominion of darkness, the rulership of darkness, the influence of darkness, the jurisdiction of darkness. More or less, you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and you have been transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son. Bring from one kingdom and take it to another kingdom. Don't be like the Egyptian Israelite who brought out of the kingdom of Egypt, brought under the kingdom of God. God gave them the commandment, set up the kingdom upon themselves, but their mind is still living in Egypt. They were never free. But thanks be to God. He said, you shall know the truth.
Amen.
The truth shall not. I'm going to say something here. He said, deliverance by the truth is the most potent one. How did you put it that way?
I think I said, the greatest deliverance, the deliverance that comes by knowledge.
By knowledge. The greatest deliverance, that's inspiration. Mm-hmm. The greatest deliverance you can have is that that comes by knowledge. Mm-hmm. People go to the house of deliverance, brother, use that deliverance to me. Now when you get it and then 2 days, 3 days later, this come back again. But the one you get, and that one you get by knowledge comes back. It comes for a period of time. It takes long. But because we are in the age of jets, everything must be like this. So we build a lot of prayer houses. Quick. I don't want the deliverance. A true, genuine deliverance comes for a period of time. God sees it in that way. What is happening? You are eating, you are getting fat. You are eating, you are growing. You are eating. A child that is growing, eating, you don't see it in one day. But it's growing. So keep eating. But the anointing is what breaks the yoke.
Yes.
It's the fatness that breaks the yoke. As you eat, you grow fat, and the yoke snap off. And that one is permanent. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So they were delivered. We are delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of His dear Son. What do we do in the kingdom of His dear Son? Translation is instantaneous. It's done immediately you give your life to Jesus. But transformation is a period of time. And the process of transformation is what you and me should give our energy, our life to. What the Bible called the transfiguration. Jesus Christ. The transfiguration, the transformation. So there's a translation, which is a movement from one place to another. But what has been translated must be transformed. So it said, be not conformed to this world, but be you what? Transformed by what? The renewal of your mind. So you are delivered from the powers of darkness. It's the continuous transformation of the mind that sets you free completely and make you to live in order of the kingdom that you are into. Brethren, I have seen enough of believers fearing as though there is no God in Israel. I've seen enough of fear-inspired prayers that are bound to nothing. And as God has given us understanding in this house, we should depart from that and begin to pray prayer that reaches heaven. The prayer of understanding. It's a prayer that is pregnant with understanding. That's why I thank God for the body that came, and that's what we are going to inch on, because the principal character of transformation in the kingdom is understanding. We are going to look at this. So be not like the Egyptians, the Jews, delivered. Before their face, they saw Egypt destroyed, and God spoke to them. The Egyptians you have seen today, you shall see them again. No! Yet, when they live, they keep seeing Egyptian. When they dream Egyptian. When they are eating, they eat about Egyptian. They saw one and they said, we want that onion. They were actually, when they were eating manna, they were tasting the onion and that is the onion. When they dream on their bed, they are dreaming of Egyptian pushing them, giving them bulala. So they are always afraid. They are perpetually living in their enemy God. They were under enemy. Oh, deliver us from such a condition that we will live in the fullness of the life of the kingdom to which we have been born. Oh God, my brethren, I want you to know and know assuredly that the kingdom is defined by the king. I said that at the beginning. Everything about the kingdom revolves around the king. We live under the benevolence of the king. You don't have anything to yourself. So he said, you have been bought with a price. You are not on your own. In the kingdom, you are not on your own. You have been bought with a price. You belong to the king. The king owns you for himself. That's why the feast of Passover came. He owns. He took them to himself. First, we say the firstborn are what? They are man. And everyone born in the New Testament age, in this church age, you are a firstborn. You have been by the Passover, been owned by God. Completely owned by God. Everything about you is owned by God. That's why, believer, you have no business crying over anything that goes wrong in your life.
Yeah.
Have no business mourning over anything. Nothing. Nothing. You know assuredly. He said, all things work together for good. To them that the Lord God and I be called. There is no chance in bed in your life. There is no chance. There is nothing, oh, this one, I don't know how it happened. You are not a chance material. You are God's ordained material. He planned about it. Some people say, oh, this child is an accidental child. We don't plan to have it. There is no accidental child in the kingdom of God. God planned about you before you came. And he has made arrangement for all that you need for life and godliness. To be perfect in him, he has given you to you. The Bible says, according as his divine power has given us all things. When did he give it to us? The day you gave your life to Christ.
Yeah.
That same day, he gave you all things that pertain to life and godliness. All things, not some of the things. Not some of the things. Said that according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He is not thinking about, oh, how will I help Busola? That is not. Stand up and rejoice. No devil can add to the numbers of days you are going to spend in this house.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter whether this and this, it doesn't matter. Your Father, the Almighty God, cares about you.
Yes.
Are you with me? He cares about you. Everything about your life. He said, that scripture he brought. He said, in his hand is the arm, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And there is the hidden of his power.
Yes.
Who are those arms? You are that arm shooting out of his hand. It's like a ray of light. Then he said, I have built you in the palm of my hand, and your world is continually before me. You are not an accidental creation. You are God's plan, arranged creation. A new one, brand new. There is no person other like you in heaven or in earth. God specifically custom made you.
Hallelujah.
For his own divine purpose.
Amen.
So it's time for you to begin to lift up your head.
Amen.
And think like a child of God. Mm-hmm. Who you are. That is why in the book of Jude, he said, let's read it.
Let's read it. The book of Jude. Developing kingdom mentality, kingdom ideals. The book of Jude. It's just one chapter. Verse 1. Verse 4. Say, for there are certain men crept in unaware who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though that you once knew how that the Lord did, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward did what?
Destroy them.
He saved them and he destroyed them.
That's very unlike our God. Can we save and destroy at the same time? For the Bible says within there is no darkness nor light, no shadow of turning, no day or night. How could he have, with his love and compassion, with such a great man, deliver them and then took time for 40 years to destroy them one by one? He systematically did like that. And then only two were able to be out of the lost. What happened? Because even though they were delivered from the powers of darkness, even though they have been translated to the kingdom of God's lesson, their mind, their mentality is still black. That will not be the Lord.
Amen.
So let's move on. We have said so much about this kingdom and the importance. Now, what in the scripture give us a clue to how we can develop a kingdom character? Nothing else other than what Jesus Christ said. Other than what Jesus Christ said. And like I said, we don't have the time to go through all of them, because then we must have to go from Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. We talked about the character of the kingdom. And then we must have to go to Matthew chapter 13 and I think 14, which talks about the mystery of the kingdom. The hidden things of the kingdom. And those two things, you need to take them along with you. You need to be conversant with them. Those are the things that form the character, the lifestyle of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, we talked about the character, the outworking, the nature of the kingdom, how it works. How a kingdom-minded person ought to behave himself. Mm-hmm. How he's supposed to interact with his fellow brethren and in relation to the world. That is the basis, the foundation. Then he comes into Matthew chapter 13 when he begins to talk in parables. Mm-hmm. And those parables, he will always say, the kingdom of God is likened unto. And he said, when the disciples asked him, why are you speaking to them? And I said, because it is not given to them to understand the mystery, to know the mystery, but for you it is given. Would you bless the name of the Lord?
Yes.
Because if it is not given to you, there is nothing you can do about it. It's not even good. But God has given it to you. How do I know he has given it to you? Because you have the Spirit. Or if anyone has not the Spirit of God, it's not one. It's none of him. If you are none of him, you can't have anything of him.
Yes.
But if you are one of him, having the Spirit in you, then you can have all the things that pertain to you.
Right.
And I want to say with all boldness, it's been given to every one of you to know, to understand the mystery of the kingdom.
Amen.
To them, outside is a mystery. But to you, inside is a clear understanding. You walk in it. Walk in it. So don't leave as though it's a mystery to you. I don't know. Why did you know? I don't understand. Why did you understand?
say, I will use it well. That which is given to me of God, I'm going to make full use of. For profiting to the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Who is he giving to hear to understand the things of the kingdom? It's given to you. It's given to everyone. It's given to me. Hallelujah. It's given to us. Amen. Amen. So let's go there. The book of Matthew, chapter 13. So let me connect this together so that in going there. Now, we're talking about developing the mentality of the kingdom, the lifestyle of the kingdom. Now, Matthew chapter 4, 5, and 6 talks about the character, the mannerism of the kingdom-minded person, the kingdom of God-minded person. They are the one, he said, blessed are the, how did he start it? Poor in spirit for what? There is the kingdom of God. Let's go, let's start from there. Let's start from there. Then we go to 13. Let's go to Matthew. Developing the kingdom mentality. Kingdom order. Matthew chapter 5. We're not really true because that will take more time. We'll just take some of it. And then we move on. Amen. Verse 2. Say, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and say all manners of evil and lie falsely against you for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophet which are before you. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So, these are the lifestyle of the kingdom. These are the character of the kingdom. Pure hearts. Poor in spirit. People that mourn. People that are meek. People that are merciful. Those are the character. And when you bring this one line by line with the ideals of the kingdom of this age, they are wall apart. Anybody that walk in this is count to be what? Foolish. Unwise. But for you to be able to manifest the character of the kingdom, you must truly be foolish. To the world, you are foolish. But to God, you are wise. So don't be afraid to be called foolish. Don't even feel anything about it. As long as you are walking in these ones. Then he continued. Verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. How many of you have seen yourself as the salt of the earth? How many know that wherever you are the salt of that place? Oh, you are in 1,000 Maka. 315. Isn't it? Oh, maybe you are the only one in that room. And there are how many rooms in that? So maybe 500 rooms in that place. Everybody doing what they like. Some of them are into opportunity, some of them are into each other. Some of them flying the day, some flying the night. Some do one kind if you have to. All kinds of things goes on. But you are here. You are here. I tell you, your presence in that place will honor the spiritual population. They begin to have headache every day. And begin to have meeting upon meeting. What do we do? What do we do? So when you discover that you couldn't pay your house rent, then they are feeling and you call and say, oh, let me show you something. And then you have to go, no, no, no. Just be a joke. Because they are so manipulative. They none of those things can reach. Praise the name of the Lord. So when you get to that place, anytime you come, just say, I possess this place. Yes. And all the souls that are there, I take them over from Jesus. Yes. I discount principalities and power that use the souls of men to operate in this environment. I lock up their power. They can't. What are you doing? You are manifesting the source which you are. Mm-hmm. And he said again, you are the light. What is the salt for? Salt meditates against corruption. Salt is for preservation. Salt is for friendship. Salt is for friendship. Salt is for preservation. I am preserving the soul of everyone here against the corrupting influence of the devil. And I'm declaring that rather than hostility and bitterness and fighting and somebody seeking to do another, people will live in harmony in this place. Don't be surprised when somebody comes knocking your door and say, can't we just have a small barbecue and then, you know, we can just meet and say, hello, this can just meet. Yes. Oh, well, yeah, that's true, that's true. Will you allow me to just do it? Come, let's just come pray. Let's share, you know. It's making an impact. That is the kind of lifestyle, a character that we should develop. It's a kind of spiritual superiority. The salt is superior. If you put a bowl of rice here and you put a pinch of salt, the bowl of rice can be said, look, we are men here. But that pinch of salt can orientate that rice completely. You don't need a bowl of salt to orientate that rice. You have a cup of rice on the ground. All it does is a pinch of the salt. And it will orientate, taste the taste of that rice completely. That's one pinch of salt. So it's not by number, it's not by how many. That's why you call it the salt. You call it the rice. You never call it the grapes. That's why you say, you call it the grapes. You say you are the grain of the earth. You think so? You say you are the grain of the earth. You are the burning part of the earth. Or you are the wheat of the earth. Did you say that? What did he say? You are the salt. Because he knows you are going to be few. So he said, fear not all the two flock. For it is the Father who will give you the kingdom. He knows. So just a little bit of salt, it changes everything. So he said, you are the salt. So that's it doesn't matter, people go to a place where they are all enemies and they are all haters of God. You are the salt of that place. How many of you will be finishing bed salt and you get a job somewhere in the place where there is no church, nothing. What do you do? You come the salt of that.
Hallelujah.
Salt it up.
Amen.
Bind up corruption.
Yes,
you don't even need to go around the street. You don't need to do any morning cry. Just be in your bedroom, kneeling down, lifting up holy hands, worshiping God, singing and praising God. He's rearranging the spiritual configuration of that place. The setup of the ruling force of darkness in that place are suddenly becoming rearranged because something greater is coming.
Yeah.
As a member of the kingdom, you have what we call angelic attendance that has been given to minister for those who are what? Heirs of the kingdom of salvation. And please always learn to put your angels to work. Many people's angels are so idle. Don't let your angels be idle. Put them to work. Say, ah, give praise to God. When you are worshiping God in your room, they are excited. Fire begin to come in their body. They want to destroy any devil that wants to come and harass you. But when you lie down and you are crying and waiting, you don't be petty. And some demon will come and say, oh, need your hand. They will have to stay back. They have to step back. He can't interfere. Believe in that when you come up and say, Lord, I bless your name. You are manifesting the life of the kingdom. The kingdom children, they never call for pity party.
Oh, yeah.
They are never calling for, who is this? They are bold.
Yeah.
The Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Yeah.
They are confident. They are courageous. They are not timid. They are not giving you the spirit of timidity. That of soundness of mind and power he has given to you. So live in the reality of that. Continually. Don't be afraid. Walk in boldness. It's part of the character of the kingdom. We're going to come into that, but let's move on quickly.
Praise God. So, then you move on and scorn. You say you are the light of the world. What is the light doing? It's to give light. So wherever is darkness, light comes in and change the configuration of that place. Amen.
Amen.
Then he moved on. He said, don't think I've come to destroy the law or the prophet. No, I've come to fulfill it. Thank God Jesus has fulfilled the law for you and me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so on. He said, except your righteousness exceed out of Pharisees and Sadducees, you cannot in any way enter the kingdom of heaven. And so on. So you can continue reading that and on. And I will advise you at least once in a year or 6 months, just take time to read it through. It's very good for us to remind ourselves. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to chapter 13. And that's where we're going to be hinging this meditation on. So, you please, let me reemphasize that again. Please, individually, let's take time to read chapter 4, 5, and 6. Meditate on it. Pray over it. Five, six, and seven. Sorry. Take time to pray about it into your life, particularly at this time. And do it every day. At least once a month or as long as the Lord helps you, shall. But make sure you do it. Remind yourself not to forget. The Bible says, lest we forget, lest it slip away. And before long, we start thinking like the world. You know, fight for fight, eyes for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Do me good, I do me bad, and all the kind of ideas, we should begin to throw them away. Amen?
Amen.
We should begin to throw them away and live as God's children. No, now we begin to see the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, many times they are used interchangeably in the Bible. Sometimes when you read it in Matthew, you say the kingdom of heaven, sometimes you say the kingdom of God. They are all one and the same. It just depends on what you are referring to at a particular point in time. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God in its making states. In its growing state, in its embryonic states. When it's fully mature, it becomes the kingdom of God. So right now, we can talk more about the kingdom of heaven, which is the church, in its growing state. When it's fully mature and coming to the full estate of Christ, it becomes the full kingdom of God on earth. So it's the same thing. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let's go straight to, where did it start? The seed? I'm getting there now. Okay, the sower. Where is it? The sower. Where did it start from?
Verse 18.
Verse 18.
Verse 3.
Oh, yes, okay. It started from verse 3. Yes. Now, it's a very long something. I don't want to take all that reading. I will just take one, and then we start praying. Okay, now, let's read from verse 11, verse 10, or verse 9, let's read from verse 9. It said, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciple came and said to him, why speakest thou to them in parable? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven. But to them, it is not given. It is given to you, but to them, it is not given. And I believe it's where Paul picked it in 2 Corinthians, where he said, we speak the wisdom of God. Let's go there. Then we'll come back to Matthew. 2 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians 2, yeah. Eh? 4.
1 Corinthians.
Okay, sorry.
First Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah. Okay. From verse 7. Okay. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that cometh to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery. It is given unto you to know what? The mystery. So we speak the mystery in wisdom. And what did he say about that? Which is even the hidden wisdom, which is ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now you need to arm yourself with this mind. They crucified the Lord of glory because they do not have the wisdom of God. And if they do that to the Lord of glory, they will do that to you also. And what is prompting them to do it is not because they couldn't have done otherwise, it's because it is not given to them to understand, to know. Therefore, they went about doing what they are doing. If anyone is going to live righteous, mark this down, if you are going to live holy, you are going to live pure, you are going to live outside the status quo, you will be a target of persecution. But if you don't want to be persecuted, just be like them, just live among them. That's it. So that we are being persecuted and are being spoken evil against is a normal thing. If we have joined them and be with them and be drawn for them and say that we are not with them, we will be accepted and received and heard. But if you say, look, I want to seek the Lord, I want to walk in the way of the Lord, I want to be one that will become the targets. They did that to the Lord, they will do that to you. And arm yourself with it. If you think you have gotten anything here, you are not here. Many more say that. But prepare yourself. Don't be afraid to go against the tides of men. Don't be afraid to be the lone man in a situation. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's better to be alone with God than to be blended with the multitude. Don't be afraid. Stand for God. Stand with God anywhere, He will stand for you and stand with you. Amen. He will never give up. Amen. He will never give up. Amen. Don't be afraid to declare what you believe. Don't be apologetic about it. Don't need to apologize about what God has given to you. This truth. Be bold and confident about it. God told Jeremiah, He said, if you are afraid, I will confound you before your face. So they will fight against you, but they will not prevail. But if you go to them, becoming guilty, I'm going to smite you before their face. So what I've given to you, be bold to declare it. Each one of you here, you are prophets of the Most High God. The word of God is inside of you. So when the time comes for you to prophesy, don't hide. You say, I was just there when I was in the campus. You know, I was just joining them. Oh, are you one of those people?
Yes.
Are you one of those people that no more after all this thing, all this thing? And say, I'm actually. No, don't do that. They call out my wife somewhere. The person was saying, she's one of those people that believe there is no rapture, there is no church leader, there is no this thing, and there is no. Then I said, talk to her. I said, is it this true? Yes. There's no rapture. There's no rapture. And this is the point of person that she was thinking, okay, this person will help something. He said, that is it. That will break our relationship, that will not make it do. Fine. Be persuaded about what you believe and be able to stand for it. If you don't understand what this truth is all about, meet others who understand. Ask them. But wherever you are asked, be bold and not to declare it. Your house.
Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So,
let's move on quickly. He said, they will not have crucified the Lord of glory, which none of this, verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of men, things that which God did what? Prepare for them that love him. Let's see verse 10 together. One, two, go. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. How do we know the mysteries of the kingdom? God revealed it to us by his Spirit. If you know you have the Spirit of God in you, it's the Spirit of revelation.
Hallelujah.
It's the one that unveils mysteries of God. You can't know the mystery of God by scholarship. You can't know the mystery of God by cemetery. What did that mean? Theological seminary. You can't know it. You need to go for 10 years in cemetery. You have to read this for 10 years here, and you have everybody teach you ontology, teach you everything. You can't see God. You can't see God. Amen. Whatever they teach you, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to teach you. I'm going to teach you.
All
the theology, all the theology. One of our young friends here was in Bible school and came to meet me and I said, look, brother, I said, if you go to, he said, he asked 4 years. I said, before God use you, you have to go to God, the program for 4 years. He said, yes. Is that true?
Yes.
I said, look at. He said, yeah, and I said, no. He said, which Bible school did you go to? I said, you go to. He said, serious? He said, how do I do that? He said, so what am I doing there? I said, that's it. When you finish your day 4 years, before God uses you, you will be doing like that 4 years. So what was the program? Wash you from all theology that put in you before you can ascend into ministry. Said, yeah, I think that's the thing about this. You can't learn it in seminar or whatever you call it.
Seminar.
It's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And that Spirit is within you. So give him an out. Give him chance to do it. How do we hinder him from not doing it? It's so simple. To bring the Spirit. To bring down the Spirit. It's so easy. To get it done. One of the things that you must never allow to leave you is the Spirit of joy. For the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
No matter what you go through, no matter how hard it is, never allow the joy of the Lord to leave you. That is what strengthens the Spirit within you. He said that by the strength with mind, by the Spirit in the inner man, the strength by mind is the joy of the Lord in you. Mm-hmm. Once the joy is not there, you are as weak, as feeble as anything.
Yes.
Right. So no matter what you are facing, always maintain that state of joy within you. And be able to wake up and say, Father, I just bless you. Praise him out of weakness, out of seemingly hard situation. Praise him out into a place of joy and liberty. When you praise him, the Spirit is stirred up within you. The scripture you read 1 year ago, and the understanding just comes into you. You want to get a revelation, just keep while you are reading, just keep reading it. Just like pouring water inside the pot. Just keep reading it. It is not as you are, it's not the concordance that will give you revelation. It is as you begin to worship him and praise him that light begin to shine into those things you have read, and you begin to, and then you go back again and say, oh, this thing is true, this thing is true.
Amen.
Amen. So, let's go straight to Matthew now. We've taken enough from Corinthians. Matthew 13. So we see that it was not given to them to understand, but thank God it is given to you and me. And we will make use of it. Now, let's quickly read
verse, I will take a big jump. Verse 16. Say, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Hallelujah. Praise God. I like the way Jesus talks. He doesn't talk like Moses. Moses will say, I know you are going to be rebellious people. I know you people. You are going to be rebellious. Give them the opportunity. I know you people. When you get to that land, you are going to set up this. You are going to do this. You are going to do that. I know. That's Moses. That's why when you are talking here, please don't talk like Moses. It is in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, I know as soon as I go, you people will do this. Jesus never talked like that. He never talked like that. He will always say to them, you are, I am in you. You are in me. We are in the Father together. Your eyes is open. You can understand. He said, I know the way I'm going. I need to know. He said, Master, we don't know. Oh, he said, what are you talking about, friends? Have you been so long with me that you don't know? That you have seen me after the Father? And when you have finished talking it in chapter 7 and chapter 16, he said, now you understand. He knew that they still did not understand. So he waited. When he came, he breathed upon them. And the Bible said, he opened their understanding. And then he understood. So don't speak like Moses.
Moses, if it's Moses, he will not say that. Let's look at it again. Where are we? If it's Moses, he will have said, curses your eyes, for they do not see, and your ears, for they do not hear. That's what Moses will say. But Jesus Christ said, blessed are your eyes. I just love this man, Jesus. I love the way he talks. Amen. For they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. And to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. Verse 18. Okay. But we pick verse 19 and then we hinge on that. And then we start rounding up. The time is gone. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, what happened? Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. And that is the beginning of the depreciation of that man. Time will fail us to go to the next one. You will see the link between these two parables. It's a progression. First of all, the seed, looking for a heart. Then later on, you have the seed and you have the heart has become the seed. But let's look at this one first. It's a good seed. What is a good seed looking for? Looking for a good heart. What is a good heart? A heart that is full of understanding. Now that's where we're going to hinge on. What is understanding? In the light of the scripture, particularly the New Testament. Understanding can be defined in two ways in the scripture, in the New Testament. The most prominent one is that understanding is declared to be your mind, your thoughts. Your mind. And that's what he referred to in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17. That the eyes of your understanding, that word understanding, is your mind. That the eyes of your mind might be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his coming. Another one is understanding means to be able to arrange things, to put things together. Ability to put things together to make it work. So you can have all the things. You know, but to put them together. And they said this one to Jesus Christ many times. Oh, how, I mean, about his understanding. Because when he speak, they said, he speak with understanding. He speak with the ability to put things together and make it work. How does things work in the kingdom of God? Things work in the kingdom of God when it is in line with the will of the king.
Whatsoever is outside the line of the will of the king cannot walk in the kingdom. So it is lack of understanding that will make you to want to do something that is out of line with the will of the king. So when you understand and know the will of the king, it is easier for you to make things to work to please the kingdom, to please the king. And the key principle, the mindset that you and me should carry with us about this kingdom is that the kingdom is about the king, and everything is done in the kingdom to satisfy the pleasure of the king. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they were and are created. According as the Bible says, he worketh all things after the counsel of his will. All things in the kingdom is work after the counsel. It's not your will. It's not what I like. It's not what I feel. It's not what I think. It is what the king wants. And until I get the mind of the king, I have no right to talk. I have no right to express my desire. So when you even have your own desire, your own mind says, no, I just want to make my mind know. No, we don't want to know your mind. We want to know what the mind of God is. When we have that kind of habit in us, it enables us to walk free among God's people. He said that thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the ground and the pillar of truth. So that you will give me wisdom that I may know how to go out, in and out amongst your people. Among his people, it is all about him among his people. And when you have that in your mind, everything, whether it works, whether your counsel is taken or is not taken, makes no difference. The will of God is gone. The will of God is gone. That's all. Matters not. We're reading this morning how they resolved the crisis in Jerusalem about the circumcision of the some disciples believe that the Gentiles who are saved to be circumcised. Some believe that they are not saved in the look at the way they resolve it. They just went back to the scripture. Amos. And put that from there. And that resolve. If I was a repeat, I'm going to say, I have another one in Genesis. I have another one in Genesis. Now, Abraham, God said, Abraham, your seed shall be this thing. And I will come and say, well, I have another one before God. But what if you have brought for, what if you have brought for Amos? If I lose it, all your pain will come. They knew that that's the mind of God for that. And also, that is it. The mind of God that we want. And each one of us have the mind of God. He said, for you have what? The mind of God. The mind of Christ. You have it. Don't say, God, give you. You already have it. Just make use of it. How do I make use of it? Being enlightened by the word of God and walking in the light of the scripture. Oh, don't believe your dreams. Don't let the devil cage you into the world of dreams. I believe in dreams. But dream is a secondary prophecy. The primary one is the word of God. So it's not a good judge. So when you have any dream, no matter how factual it is, and you see yourself in a negative setting, it's either of two things that is coming. That the devil is just trying to shift you from the place of faith and confidence. Or the other one is that something is coming that God wants you to abide. Never you say, oh, so that is me now. No. Because that's what the devil wants to bring in you. God is not showing you something. Because every revelation God gives is because of redemption. You see, anything God does is redemption. Is pursuing. It's not pursuing destruction. It's pursuing redemption. And you have never stopped pursuing until redemption is fully out of your life. You never stop. So whenever he shows you something, something the dream is terrifying about you,
So then they don't say, oh, so this is what I am. Oh, God, no wonder. No. God is always showing you, possibly showing you to pray. And if you pray and cooperate with God, it will be a battle. No. Or is the enemy that is just trying to sift you and create fear in your heart? Either way, never you accept a negative testimony from a secondary witness about you. Never you accept it. No matter who is giving it, take it to the word of God and receive the word of God and stay upon the word of God, for that one cannot fail. If you see yourself and say you are dying, did the Bible say you will die? No. He said, for a long life I will be able to see 20 or 22 and you are coming here, death. What? You want to die? 23? What have you done? What have you achieved? When he said, with long life, he will satisfy you. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, only accept that which God wants you. That is the mentality of the king. Because it is all about the king. Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
We will just round it up quickly now, because there are some other things. So he said, he understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one. Then let's take a big jump and come to where he was explaining it. Where is that? Where was not giving them the explanation to it? Oh, is that it? Okay. Then, which verse did I just read now? 19. Okay. Let's read verse 23. But he that receiveth the seed unto what? A good ground, which is a good heart, is he that heareth the word and did what?
Understandeth it.
So the difference is between him that does not have it and he that have it is what? Understanding. And the word understanding here is ability to put things together, to make things to interrelate together. So when you hear the word of the kingdom, which you have been hearing, from the day you hear, be born again. Jesus Christ died for you. Those are the word of the kingdom. So everything you are hearing about the tabernacle, about all that, is all the word of the kingdom. Ability to put all these things together to meet the divine interest, the divine purpose, is what is called understanding. Now if somebody accepts Jesus as his Lord and Savior, based on preaching to him, and he stopped short of that place, and he continued in that place, oh, I am born again. Oh, I am born again. And he never knew that the born again experience, putting that understanding together, will launch you into the next phase of experience of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And instead, it just being born again. Like there are some people that are like that. Just be born again. He's born again. He's saved and forgiven. And he never knew that the understanding given to him that makes him to be born again, if he's able to put it together, match it up together very well in a good picture, he's going to lead him into the next state of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And instead, in that place of being born again, then he lacks understanding. Understanding will put that state well, very well, and he will move forward with baptizing the Holy Spirit. And being baptized in the Holy Spirit, he begins to put it together, making it to work, relating to work on into the place of the fullness of God. We make it to have this great spirit I have, it's not the end, it's not the beginning. So as a fullness, as a fullness, as a fullness. So you're able to put it together. So what do I need to get the fullness? Oh, I need to consecrate myself. I need to depart from anything that is ungodly. I need to search myself. I need to walk in line with the word of God. He begins to put them together and begin to press on and press on and press on and press on until the final day. So he said the path of the just is like what? A light that shines brighter and brighter to the path. And if you stay in the light of being born again, very soon that light will become darkness. Will become darkness. And it has happened several times. So being able to put things together will keep you on the path and keep you moving on and bringing more fruits as you are moving on.
you will never be barren.
Amen.
You will never be barren. Amen. Always bearing fruits of righteousness and pleasing the Father. Because that is what the Father is looking for. In every state, the fruit is looking for. He said, you are called, call me, and I have called you and ordained you to bear what? The fruits. And the fruit may what? Abide. So, at the point of being born again, God gives you the knowledge, understanding of born again. It's an understanding. It's an understanding. To be born again is an understanding. But if you put it to use, then you will bear the fruit of that. And the Father will take it and take pleasure in it. And as he takes pleasure in it, still walking without understanding, you know, oh, I need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You move on to that stage and you receive it. And the fruit come again to the Father and is glorified. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. And then you put it to use again, put out the to use again, and then you move to the next stage, and to the next stage. And each stage you keep bringing forth fruits. Now, don't make a mistake. The fruit you brought forth here, when you get here, they should say, oh my God, look at the kind of fruit that, oh God, have mercy on me. Because it will look as nothing. But the Father receives you with joy and gladness, and give you the next one. Why? Because the reason why the tree was cursed is not because it bear fruit and the fruit was bad, but because it didn't bear at all. One chapter. It wasn't at all. Jesus Christ went there and saw the fruit. Oh, this one is not good. Oh, this one is yet to be ripe. That's not why he cursed the tree. He cursed it because he did not bear fruit. Because what the king is looking for is the fruit. That is what gives him pleasure. If you don't give him fruit, you are not. He said, a brother does not bear fruit. What will he do? He said, he will take it and throw it to him. He's not relevant to that place. He's not useful to the kingdom. To bear the fruit of righteousness.
Yes.
Which by Christ, in the glory and praise of
God.
Praise the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what the king is looking for. The fruit of the land. The fruit of the land. And we see them in Galatia. We see joy. We see love. We see patience. We see all that must continually be improving. If you have this measure of love at the born again experience, by the time you move to the Holy Spirit, that love must grow.
Yes.
If you have this measure of patience when you are at this place, when you move here, it must grow. So it's ever growing, ever in prayer to come here right and right and right and right and right until you get to the perfect day when you will take the full fruit and say, oh, this comes from the birth, the fruit of the birth, and it shall be your fire. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. So that is why he keeps giving you more understanding. What God, thank God for that prayer. Oh, brethren, that is what God will keep on giving to you and you. Understanding.
Amen.
To put this together. And when you have been able to put things together, what are you going to use to put things together? You need the understanding of the mind. The mind must work well to put things together. A blocked mind cannot put things together. We just devalue everything because mind is blocked. And one of the things the devil, actually, the believer is a blocked mind. It's a mind blocking agent. Don't allow your mind to be blocked. Apply the blood over your mind every day and let your mind be enlightened. If it doesn't block the mind, he twists the mind. That is what the devil does. But how do we escape that arrangement? By the blood.
Amen.
Continuous application of the blood will give your mind a sound state continually. Don't ever forget it. By the blood. That's why the blood must be applied upon the lintel. Is the eye place where you can see, where you can understand. Apply that blood generously. Washing your mind. Praise the name of Jesus Christ. We can't take more than that today because the time is up. But I trust that the Lord is going to keep on giving it to you. Just keep on walking in that understanding. Let it continue to grow from one degree of glory to another, from one state to another. And as you grow in that understanding, as you increase in it, you are moving on. Bearing the fruit of righteousness to the glory and praise of God. Let's begin to talk to the Lord. And God, I thank you for both how far you have led. I thank you for so far you have helped me in this journey. But I'm still asking for more. The mentality of the kingdom, the lifestyle of the kingdom, are those that continually move forward, understanding the truth, walking with the knowledge of the truth.